The tongue of a disciple was one who was taught that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. If you're weary out there, there's a couple of weary people in here I can see by the Spirit. This is for you. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear his disciple as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I've not been rebellious nor turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the comforter. You are the comforter. You're the standby, the advocate, but you're the comforter. And Father, my spirit, I sense in my spirit, if I'm hearing you correctly, there are people in here tonight that have come that need to have some just comfort. And so we just release you in faith right now in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you would just comfort those that need to be comforted here, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord. Give them endurance and give them a refreshness. Lord, they need to be refreshed in your presence tonight. And we just thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your scriptures with you, open up to Matthew 25. Yeah, I'm really getting, I don't know about you, but I've just been very much aware of there's a separation that's occurring in the planet right now with people. And, you know, it's believers and unbelievers. We could simplify it like that. But it's becoming more and more evident. I don't know if you're noticing it, but there's such a polarization that's going on. And it's happening all over the planet. It's not just in this nation. It's everywhere. And it's really strange because we're seeing the downfall of some things. God is judging some things around the earth. So we're seeing some downfall of some things, and then seeing some other things that are kind of rising up simultaneously. But you know, in terms of the church, though, that's really, you know, where it's always been my focus. I don't tend to focus on the condition of the world too much. I don't think I do, but you know, I'm not unaware of it, that in our nation specifically, it just seems to me that it's going to be a real dividing line in the church of carnality and the spirit. And we have a lot of carnal Christians, and I've been one of them, I'm sure, in my life. And then you've got spirit-filled people. And God wants to get all the carnality out of the house. And it's not that these people are bad, don't get me wrong. It's just that get on, you know, either get off the fence, get all the way in the water, or don't get in. And so we're really entering into a time, you know, a crunch time. I feel like it's crunch time. And there's just it's really strange because even though I've lived in the United States all my life, I've never been in this country or been aware that it just seems like it's on thin ice. And it's not like the whole nation is on thin ice, but there is a lot of people in the country that are on thin ice right now. And then you've got the other people who are really just need to have the church to get out of the box. There seems to be some type of revival that is going on with younger people, college age and high school age. There seems to be some type of move of God that is going on. And so we really want to catch that wind. And so I don't know about you, but I really feel like the Holy Spirit wind is at my back right now, just really energizing and encouraging and giving the spirit to build. And as I've said this already, I see three things happening in the spirit right now. There's a real wind to build. There's a real wind to gather. And there's also a real wind to warn. And you know, it's the same thing that was going on in the days of Noah. I mean, he was building the ark, he was gathering animals, and he was warning. And it doesn't really tell us in the scriptures of when all those animals showed up. You know, we see in movies and cartoons and stuff and how they kind of pranced in. We don't know if he went out. You know, we know that the Lord spoke to the animal kingdom or whatever, or maybe he captured. I don't really know. It doesn't go into a lot of detail. But I know that there was some gathering going on, and so I really think that there's people around you that are ripe for picking. You guys are like a remnant. You're like the people that come here, not everybody, but I would say the majority come here, are serious Christians. You walk the walk, you talk it, you're hungry, and you want to go to the next level, and God wants to take you there. And so through impartation and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he does that when we gather together and we go out and we go home, and there are things that are happening with you, and some of you, I think, are really going to be experiencing some divine visitations in your ministries, and they're going to explode and it's going to grow. You're going to see a lot of growth because you're in the will of God and because you desire to see the move of God in the earth. And it's a hunger that you have, and you're not satisfied. You're not satisfied with the church because you've been looking for it for I don't know how long. You haven't found it yet. You go to church, I'm sure, but there's something that's just missing. It's not just, you know, it's everywhere. And I really think that hunger and that desire to see the move of God, that is an unsaid prayer, an unspoken prayer, or maybe it is spoken. I do talk to God about it a lot. I get in his, I'm looking at his face, I shouldn't say that, but I talk to him about the church a lot. I'm very concerned, I've always been that way, but I really want to see his hand move in terms of discipleship, where people really are beginning to get on fire and they're going out and they're starting works. And I don't know if it's a home meeting or whatever it is that God's telling you, maybe you're already into something or whatever, but I really sense in my spirit that God's not done with you. I don't know, everybody's in a different age here, but God's not done yet. And your ministries are going to grow and expand. And I think you need to have expectations. And so tonight, I wanted to get into some scriptures tonight because God was really dealing with this subject. And it's something that you're to be reminded of, but also it's something that, you know, when you really look at it and you're doing it, there are some real benefits that will come out of it. And so just kind of keep your spiritual ears on tonight. But I'm in Matthew 25, and I'm starting at verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, his majesty and his splendor, and all the holy angels with him, and he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them, the people from one another, as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. And he will cause the sheep to stand at his right hand, but the goats will be on the left. And then the king will say to those at the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God and appointed to eternal salvation. Inherit, receive as your own the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you brought me together, and you brought me together with yourselves, and welcomed and entertained and lodged me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me with help and ministering care. I was in prison, and you came to see me.'" And it's a powerful scripture. But he talks about these goats, and you know, I don't know about you. Have you ever had an experience with a goat before? I have, and it was a scary thing. I was working a diving camp up at Great Falls, and the cabins that we stayed in, we had to go through this trail through the woods, and the owner of the Springs Mills had this goat, and he had him tied off to eat the shrubs back and stuff. And so when we would come in this camp, and then these athletes that I was with, and stuff like that, we would walk up to the pool, and we'd have our workout and walk back. And sometimes we ended up getting diving into the evening, so we had to walk back at night. And the goat was a mean goat. I mean, it was tied up. It was mean. If you walk by, it'd like try to, you know, buck you. It's like that, but it couldn't do it because it was tied. And I remember wondering, why in the world is this guy let this goat here? That goat gets off that rope, it's going to be bad. And so I was walking back one night with a coach, and he was with me. We were walking, and the goat, when we came to the pool, was tied up on the right side, but apparently the owner came and tied up the goat on the other side. So when we came back, and it had a bell on, so when we come back, and you could hardly see, it was really dark that night. I don't know if there's a cloud cover or what it was, but it was just really dark. And I remember, like, we're walking back, and I go, and I heard the bell, and I go, "Dave, wasn't that goat on he was on the other side. I think that goat's loose." And we heard a little ring out, and, you know, because it was like it run up to like a dog, you know, and that's what it was doing. We heard it ringing, and And he, I go, oh, that goat's loose. And so he started to run, and like, I was, he was trying to run, and I was like, keeping him in front of me like that. I'll never forget. It probably wasn't the thing to do, but that's what I did at the time. And so, but the goat was tied. That's my goat story. But goats can be mean, you know, and that thing was mean. But goats, they're independent, okay? And they're stubborn, too. And they also, they want to go their own way. And I want you to hear that, okay? I want you to hear that because this is describing goats. And there are goats that are on our way sometimes, but that's what Jesus is talking about. These are people that are independent, they're stubborn, and they go their own way. And you look at the people that are going on the planet right now, and some of the people are very, very vocal. There are people that are outright, just right out against God. They're atheists. They don't believe in him, and they'll do everything to infiltrate the kingdom of God and mess things up with the church and come against Christians and so forth. But there are goats out there that are just independent, they're stubborn, and they go their own way. And if you look back at in the Garden of Eden, you remember when they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, that tree? You remember what God said? God said, they said, we have to keep them from eating the tree of life because they've known good and evil, like they become like us. And what man did back then, it was more than just eating of the trees. They were eating of their own, they had their own set of morality, is what they ended up doing. When they saw good, they had their own set of morality, human morality. And that's what we're dealing with. This is a religion or a faith or a belief. You can call it political or whatever you want, but that is what's going on. They have their own set of morality, and you can't reason with them because they're goats. And there's a real separation that's going on, and this is going to become even more and more evident. And one of the things that Jesus said is, don't throw your pearls before swine. And I'm not telling you not to minister to people, but I'm also saying you need to be wise in these days to come of who you share with. Make sure you're being led of the Lord in that, because it's hard to get a goat saved because they're independent. They've got their own morality, and they see life through a lens. And the problem in the church with this carnality is the reason why there's so much carnality in the church is that we're not calling people to account to repent about anything anymore. You know, we're trying to bring messages to build people, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't throw repentance in there, people are not going to change. And you know what I'm talking about because you've had to repent. Everybody in this place has gone through a lot of repentance this year. Unless maybe it's just me. Because the fine tuning of the Holy Spirit gets down to the nitty gritty. And I'm going to give you a real simple solution because this has been coming out of my mouth a lot, is that all you need to do is begin to simplify your walk with God down to the point where every interaction, whether it be with your wife, your friends, or whatever, every interaction that you have with people, you need to serve the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's simple as that. Amen. It will revolutionize your relationships. It will give you a very simple way of staying into the Spirit, walking the Spirit. And not only that, when you're serving the Holy Spirit, what you're doing, and when if I come up and I see Lex or whatever, and we're just having a conversation, I know we're talking about things, but in my mind, I'm serving the Holy Spirit, so I'm serving him in our friendship or whatever it might be. But when I'm doing that, I'm actually hearing the Holy Spirit of how to enter into conversations. And what happens with that is that your ability to be able to hear God increases tenfold because you're working hand in hand with that Holy Spirit and you're exercising it on a regular basis. It will change you. It will absolutely change you and will give you a peace, and you will not have anywhere near the anxiety level that you had before, because let's face it, most of your anxiety is coming from people. It's not coming from God, and it's probably not coming from the devil, although he can throw anxiety at you for sure. So I just share that as a little sidebar there, I guess. But goats are a problem, and I'm becoming very much aware that we've got a lot of goats in our government, in case you hadn't noticed. Oh, yeah. And they're becoming more and more vocal because they cannot get their way, and they're independent, and they're stubborn. And it doesn't matter what, truth is not a commodity of a goat. They don't move in truth. They don't know the truth. Because if they did, they'd be free. But they're bound up in their own ideologies, and their own ideologies actually kept them prisoners. And it's getting to the point, as you read in the scriptures, where God says, I'm just going to give them over to their reprobate mind. And it's a sad thing that the worst form of judgment is when God doesn't do anything about it and just lets it be the way it is. That's a bad form of judgment when you think about it. So, but we aren't of that goat clan, so we're good, right? So, let's go to James chapter 1. And tonight I want to talk about faith and obedience.
Stop reading my email.
And all you prophetesses out there, you all know what I'm going to say before I say it. Or I'm in your notes, one or the other. All right, James chapter 1, verse 22. And a lot of you guys, you know a lot of this stuff, but for whatever reason, this is what the path the Lord's taken me tonight. In verse 22, chapter 1 says, but be doers of the word, obey the message, not merely a listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone only listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, he is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for though he thoroughly observes himself, and he goes off and promptly forgets what he looks like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law, the law of liberty, and is faithful to it, and perseveres in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in doing his life of obedience. So blessings come through obedience, but it's essentially the illustration used about a natural man who looks at the mirror and he walks away and forgets what he looks like. But really what's going on there is that you can look at a mirror and say, oh yeah, my hair's fine, walk out the door. Or you can look in the mirror and just really look and you start to notice, man, I get my nose hair's getting long. I better do some trimming here because it's going to be embarrassing being a speaker and I've got nose hair coming out. You know, I mean, or whatever, you know, you're looking at all the little flaws and all the little things. I mean, that looking into the Word of God, when you pick up those flaws and stuff, you do something about it. Amen. But the guy that just looks in the mirror and walks away and forgets who he is, he doesn't come into any kind of refinement. And so that's what it's saying here, to look into the faultless law of God. When you look in the law of liberty, what happens is that, yeah, the Holy Spirit will show you carnality, show you the faults and stuff, but God, Holy Spirit always shows you how to walk with Him and not to be bound up by these things. You know, and so it's really, I really want to encourage you that, you know, that you are already, we know we got a lot of doers of the word in here. And but I want you to understand that that's what's going on with you. You're actually looking in the mirror of the Holy Spirit, and that is why the repentance is in your heart. And repentance is a way of life. Repentance is a way of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And it's not a negative thing. And you might have some things in your life that you pick up, put down, pick up, put down. I mean, you know, we have fleshly sins. We got other kinds of things going on. There's a variety of things. I didn't come tonight with a list of them, but you know what they are, okay? But I want to encourage you, if you're going through that dilemma of back and forth, the good thing is that you're trying to do something about it. And even if you can't get anything done about it, the very fact that you want to, what is that saying? You're agreeing inside your heart with God, okay? He's not going to leave you there. Some of these things will disappear over a period of time, okay? But just know this, there's not a person on this planet, there's not a human on the planet that has not fallen short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. Amen. And so the closer you get and the more you look into this law of God, when you look carefully into it, the more becomes revealed. But the other thing that happens in that revealing is there's a peeling away of all of these things of the natural, what is carnal. But we can walk in the Spirit and not carry out the desires of the flesh. Amen. You're going to be in the fleshly body until you go on. But you need to know how to walk in the Spirit. That's why I shared with you about serving the Holy Spirit. It is just the way to go. And it's just simple. And it gets to a place. There is a place in God where this awareness of serving the Holy Spirit is a 24/7 thing. We actually have it in your head. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do it all the time, but there's a good chance that you will. Because the peace of God beyond understanding, when you walk in that, man, you want to stay in it. It's the place of immunity. It's the secret place. And over in chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What is a prophet, my brethren, if anyone professes to have faith and he has no good works to show for it? Can such a faith save his soul? If a brother or sister poorly clad and lacks food each day, and one of you says to him, 'Goodbye, keep yourself warm and well fed without giving him necessities for the body,' what good does that do? So also is faith. If it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself it is destitute of what? Of power. It is inoperative and is dead." So you need to see that there, because this is not something that you, I know you guys have deeds and I know you have works, but you see, when you have faith and works accompany your faith, it has power in it. So you must have some work going on in your life. That's why I'm saying this is a year to build. Now, we're all in different places in our life, and we all come from different backgrounds, and everybody has different things that you do in ministry. But that should always be expanding and growing. Don't get to a place where you settle, where things are just kind of on autopilot. Because I don't think I've ever experienced God where he stays in one place. He's always constantly leading me forward. This is what Jesus said, put your hands to the plow. Anybody takes their hand to plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So you got your hands on that plow and you're moving forward. And there's things that people out there that need you. So just be aware of it. Allow those works to come out of you. And I know sometimes we get in a place where we need healing, and there's a time you're in the spiritual hospital, and even us that are really seasoned, we go through things where we hurt, and we have things that happen in our life and so forth, and we need to have some rest. So that happens as well. Anyway, let's move on here. Sure. Serving the Holy Spirit is Serving the Holy Spirit. If I would talk to you, okay, or if I would I'm out there work, whatever it is, when I'm engaging with a person in my heart and in my mind, okay, because in my heart, I'm serving the Holy Spirit. So when I come to you, it's like I'm thinking in my spirit, how do you want me to interact with this person? What is it? What do you want? And sometimes it's just conversation. But when I have the conversation and in my heart, I'm serving the Holy Spirit. There's the what I talk about and what I say and what I do is different than if I'm just in a communication. Exactly. And it's something that it needs to be practiced a lot, because the first step is awareness of it. The second step is you have to do it. Now, in terms of hearing from God and speaking for the Lord or letting the Lord move through you, that is developed, but it's also something that must be practiced, because you don't know until you actually do it to know that the Lord is actually speaking through you. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yes.
You discussed this in your first scripture, what we do, how we serve the Spirit. We feed the hungry.
Yes, that's...
We give drink.
Right.
We take strangers in.
Right.
We clothe them.
Right.
We visit them in the hospital and in prisons.
Right. That's right. That's right. And
so I've been doing that all my life.
Yes. And that's serving the Holy Spirit, but it gets to another level is what I'm trying to talk about, because those types of things, yes, are very obvious, but also too, it's like if I'm in a grocery store, and I walk in the grocery store and I'm serving the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do here? Well, I maybe just most of the time I go in, you know, or you're thinking, well, I got to go get this or whatever, whatever. But when you go in thinking you're serving the Holy Spirit, now you're aware of your surroundings.
And you'll see the people.
You're aware that God may have you do X, Y, and Z or whatever. It might be like I go to Aldi, and many times if I'm serving the Holy Spirit, I walk up there and you got to put that quarter in to get that cart or whatever, you know, and I'm put a quarter in for somebody, or I leave it there, or, you know, I'll put a quarter in for somebody, or I just give somebody my basket, or I'm looking. I mean, that's a little thing. But the point I'm trying to make is that even though it's a little thing, you're working hand in hand with the Spirit of God. And any kind of experience of working with the Spirit of God, anytime you know you're in direct relationship like that, that is a teachable moment. It is a moment where you're learning how to flow in. Because what did Jesus say? He said, I can only do the things I see the Father doing. The Scripture says of His anointing, He says, He who only speaks the word of the Father, He has the anointing with what? Without measure. Why? Because He only speaks the words of the Father. So obviously you can see why Jesus, in training His disciples, remember what He said? I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And you are to serve the Holy Spirit the same way that I serve my Father. Does that make sense? And so that's what you're doing.
And it's a conscious effort.
It's a conscious effort. But it'd be... Exactly, but I will tell you, it is a process. You know, it's trial and error sometimes, because you will make some mistakes, and you know, you might say some things that maybe aren't the Lord. But see, you have to understand, what would the attitude of God be if you're actually trying to do that? He's going to help you, because He is the helper.
And you tell him anything you say that don't agree with him, but it falls to the ground.
Right? Exactly.
And you pray that before you even go talk to the person that you was going to help start out with.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So anyway, so we know that, so we're looking at obedience here in faith. And the faith and obedience are, to me, are like, they're like power twins. You got to have them both. You just can't have faith and not obey. You know, you have to have the combination. That's why I wanted to start out with, you know, with someone that has faith has works. And if you're doing a work, that means you must be obeying, okay? Because you just don't naturally go out and start working for the Lord, but you get thoughts from Him that are actually works or exploits or whatever you want to say that you go out and you do. So we know that faith in Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. It says that, you know, he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, okay? That seems strange when you read that, and you sit there and say it's impossible to please God without faith. He who comes must believe that He is. Why would He even say something like that? Why do I believe that He? Of course He is. But see, the thing about it is, when you believe that God is, the very fact that He is and He is real modifies your behavior. Automatically.
Amen.
But imagine a person that doesn't believe that there's a God. They're operating under, they're the goat, they're operating under a human morality. Okay? And they don't have the Spirit. So it's important to understand that you believe that God He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So to seek God is to obey God. I mean, it is going after Him and finding out about Him and, you know, reading the Bible and spending time with Him. Because, see, the fact is, if He is real, and maybe you come to this conclusion, if God is real, and that's where I'm going to be in eternity, this short time that I'm here must count for something.
Amen.
And when people get a hold of that, it changes the way that they live, because they're living for eternity now, not when they die. But if you're a carnal Christian, well, I'm saved, I've done it, now I'm just going to go live my life, and I'm totally concentrated on the things that are going on and the events in my life and so forth. It's not that God doesn't want us to enjoy our life. It's just that, you know, I don't think that the Apostle Paul was thinking about so much enjoying his life. I think he was more concerned about completing his mission. And that's where the Lord wants to get everybody at to that place to where they have know their mission, they know what they're to do, and they go out and they do it. I'm sure that Paul, the Apostle Paul, had some social activities or some time with people and laughter and so forth, stuff like that. Because we're just reading things that are in the Word. There's so many things that he did, I'm sure. But my point is this. When you get to the place to where you understand this and you're walking this out on a daily basis, the faith that you have in God and by obeying him and going out, it pleases him. I mean, it just does. Read on here. So I want to get into some scriptures about obeying. This is the word obey. Take that word obey. It means to comply with a command. Okay? And you can obey God just to comply with a command, and that's fine. But then you've got obedient, and that's willing to comply with a command. And so you can do something for God out of duty, or you can do something for God out of willingness. And I believe that we got to get to the place where we're willing, you know, because let's face it, walking with God and walking through this earth as a Christian, you're going to get tribulation and persecution. It just comes with the territory. And a lot of people, many, many people, base their relationship with God on the church. And they judged God by the people of God rather than letting God represent himself. Does that make sense? That's why so many people have been hurt by Christians who maybe they were misbehaving, maybe they weren't. But, you know, for whatever reason, they got turned off to God because of the way someone acted. Let's face it. Everybody in here knows somebody like that. I do. I know a lot of people. They absolutely will not set foot in a church because they think everybody in the church are a bunch of hypocrites. And, you know, my view on that was, okay, well, why don't you join us? you're one yourself. But, you know, the point, you know, so, you know, we get to a point where we're willing to obey. Now, 1 Samuel 15:22, let's turn that back real quick. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that scripture. Says, Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than a sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of lambs. And so I just want to put a priority on this obeying part because and I've said this before, you can imagine God in heaven, and I'm not saying this is necessarily going to happen, but it's not going to surprise me, and I may be speaking prophetically, and I don't even know it, but God could say something to the body of Christ on the earth, to those that obey and listen, by the way, however many people that is. I mean, these are people that hear his voice. He says to, you know, go outside and, you know, go do what X, Y, and Z, and they go and they do it, okay? There are people like that right now on this planet. He could speak something for everyone to do at the same time all over the planet, and they would do it. You see what I'm saying? So the significance of obeying God and doing what he says as a body of Christ and as a church, and Jesus said himself, he was building his church. He says, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, that shows that the church is putting pressure that hell can't withstand the pounding of the church. Well, how is that going to happen? That's an obeying church. It says that the bride of Christ, it said it's been permitted for her to dress in fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. And so we can see that God could do that, but obeying God is paramount, and you're finding that out for yourselves on your own. I don't need to really spend a lot of time on the fact that, you know, you're learning to obey him because you just are. The second thing I've got here, another scripture, is Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are as red as like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." And so there's always, you will find that the blessings of God are always connected to obedience. They become one. It's not that God doesn't bless us before we obey him. It's just that you'll find through the scriptures a pattern of willingness and obeying him and the blessings, okay? And it's not, I don't think that anybody in here, and I don't know where you're at particularly, but it's like, I don't think I follow the Lord because he blesses me. I want to be blessed by him, you know? But let's face it, a lot of Christianity in this country is based on self. Where we're constantly approaching the Lord for us in our lives. And don't get me wrong, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You need to stay and make your requests known unto the Lord. But you got to get to the place to where the majority of your life is spent on serving the Holy Spirit, which is intercession for other people, staying in prayer, staying in the Word, delivering messages, doing that, making that be kind of a force in your life. And you'll find that when you live like that, that your problems, that you might have them, don't carry anywhere the power or the dominion over your brain that they would if you just focused in on you all the time. When you focus in on you, it's almost like sometimes it opens up the door for the enemy to jam your mind with thoughts to keep you pinned down, to keep you thinking about something that doesn't bless you, that doesn't build you up, you know, that comes at you. And so you need to be aware of that, okay? But that's just something that the enemy likes to do to all of us, I think. In Psalm 128, Psalm 128, verse 1 says, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, everyone who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who walks in his ways and lives according to" what? "To his commandments." Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is everyone who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who walks in his ways and lives according to his commandments. Now, right here we see a real connection between the fear of the Lord and obedience. There is a connection there. I know there is, because I fear God. And I know there are certain things that I didn't get into, or there's certain things I wouldn't go so far, because I fear God. And I fear him. I mean, I do. I respect him deep in awe. But at the same time, too, I do fear him. Why? Because he's the only one. He gives the keys of death and life. I mean, he's God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. It would be silly not to fear him. But I want to share a scripture with you. Maybe you've never seen this before, but in Isaiah 33, verse 5 and 6 says, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. And there will be stability in your times, an abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The reverential fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and his." See, Jesus, the fear of the Lord was his treasure. We've never thought about it like that. You need to understand it is a treasure. It is something that brings you not just into obedience, but it brings you into the right relationship with him and in the right protocol, you know, in terms of how you walk out and how you even address him. You know, a lot of times, you know, and he's our friend, and that, but he is also, he's God. And so we just need to understand that the fear of the Lord is a treasure to us. Amen. 2 John chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "And what this love, and what this love consists is this, that we live and walk in accordance with and guided by his commandments, his orders, his ordinances, his precepts, his teaching. This is the commandment, as you have heard from the beginning, that you continue to walk in love, guided by it and following it. So obedience is walking in love. Love, loving people is being obedient to God. And he commands us to love one another, even commands us to love the goats. It is. It definitely gives you character. That's right. If you got some goats you need to love, I suggest that they're probably going to end up coming to the kingdom of God as a result of your prayers. Amen. So walking in love is obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to see shed a little bit different light on this scripture. That you're probably familiar with. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, "Insomuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Anointed One." So to obey God is to bring your thoughts into obedience to Jesus. Do you hear that? Because that kind of leapt off the page to me, because I've ministered on that scripture so much. This is a real handy scripture to have right now. And the reason why I'm saying that is that humanity right now is being barraged in their minds. And we know about capturing thoughts. There's a lot of Christians that don't know anything about that. Or they know about it, but they don't practice it. And this is another reason why I'm talking about serving the Holy Spirit. Because it simplifies that just a little bit. You know, because, you know, you have thoughts that are coming at you, but when you're serving the Holy Spirit, you're not going to carry out any other thoughts except His thoughts. And so you kind of neutralize the bad ones than that. But you have a responsibility to obey God in your thoughts. I've never looked at it that way. And what I'm saying is that obey Him by capturing them. And the only reason we're to obey Him in that is because these thoughts, and some of you have had thoughts come at you, they're trying to drive you into sorrow. I see it on some of you. But you deal with it and you push them back and say, yeah, no, I'm not going to take that. But we have to understand that the enemy wants to neutralize us. So he is going to throw thoughts at you and me to accomplish that. Now, what works on me would not probably work on you and vice versa. But he's skilled in it because he's done it for years, thousands of years. But we have to obey God and capture those thoughts, because God doesn't want anything to us to be tormented in our minds. He's given us the peace of God. We have the mind of Christ. He wants us to function in that. So when we take things to capture into the beings of Jesus, what we're actually doing is we're capturing our thoughts and bringing them into the obedience of the mind of Christ, which functions in every believer that is born again. And it activates when you do it. Because now you're able to discern what's going on. And words of knowledge many times come that way. I don't know about you, but I've had thoughts come to me where it would always sometimes be over a situation or something that was about to happen, or somebody was trying to deceive me. I had a recent situation where somebody was trying to deceive me, and I started to get thoughts that were telling me, this person's deceiving me. And so I had to capture that thought to the mind of Christ to get the understanding of what was going on up there. What are you showing me, Holy Spirit? Now, you do that on certain things, but when you get to a place to where it becomes a daily thing, you get skilled at it. And that's why the Apostle Paul, like for one circumstance, when the slave girl followed him around, and remember she started yelling, these guys show you the way of the Most High God, and they preach salvation. And Paul was irritated with this girl for 3 days. But he didn't do anything about it until the third day. So I look at that scripture, and I'm thinking, like, here is Apostle Paul with a mind of Christ, and this situation's going on, and he sees it, and he has the mind of Christ, and he's capturing the thoughts of what to do. He knows it's there, what to do about it, and he goes through a process, and that one day he turns to that spirit and casts it out. I mean, that's a perfect example of that, of God working in the thought life of a believer to take an action over an evil spirit. And so we just have to look at these things, and I just wanted to point that out because I never saw that scripture quite that way, but it really blessed me. I looked at that like that today. Okay, we're going to look at an example where faith and obedience was tested in Joash, who was a king of Judah. And so let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 13. Now, Joash was really an interesting character. I don't know if he's interesting, but there's a little bit of a backstory on Joash. Joash was, he had some brothers, and all his brothers were killed because his grandmother wanted to be the ruler of Judah. And so she was his grandmother was the I think it was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, and she so when the king died, she didn't want the sons to inherit the kingdom, so she killed them all. But Joash was taken by his uncle and his aunt and hidden for, like, I think 6 years. And then they brought him out and said, the child lives, to take out grandma, the gangster grandma who kills everybody. So, yeah, so he's not coming from a good stock. So Joash is king, but his uncle is raising him, who happens to be the temple priest. And his aunt, and so they raise him up. And so that's kind of his background. So he's king, and I don't know exactly how old. I really researched this because I wanted to know how old he was when I'm reading the scripture. And when you read the scripture in Kings, it jumps around. It'll like talk about his rule, but then jump back and kind of all over the place. You really have to kind of follow it. But in verse 14, chapter 13, it says, now Elisha, previously he had become ill of the illness of which he died, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen of it. Which is interesting that he talks about him. We don't know how old he is here, but obviously he knew that Elisha saw Elijah caught up. And he said these exact things to Elijah. Father, here comes the chariots and the horsemen of it. And so I think he's coming in there and he's just saying that. It's not like the chariot's there. He's not saying that he's going to be taken up like Elijah was. He just is saying it. And so he obviously respects him. And at this point in his life, I think he was a good king. He started out good. He didn't end up good, but he started out good. We'll get to how he ended up. But at this point in time, he's kind of good. But we don't really know we can't really tell for sure what his relationship was like with the Lord, but I'm gleaning from it just on how things had played out. So it says, and Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. And he took his bow and his arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. Now, one thing about Elisha that you know is that he did twice as many miracles as Elijah. He got what we call the double portion. But he still was nowhere near as famous as Elijah in terms of biblical history, at least the way I look at it. But he nevertheless was very powerful and very well respected. And when you think about those prophets that were in those kingdoms, I mean, a lot of stuff that they spoke and they prophesied happened. And the nation and the enemies of Israel were very much afraid of these prophets and wanted to kill them many times, as you know. So Elisha said to him, take bows and arrows. And he took a bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hand upon the bow and put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window to the east. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria, for you shall smite the Syrians in Aphek until you have destroyed them. And then he said to him, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike on the ground. And he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Syria down only three times. Now, when you read that, in the back of your head, you're thinking, well, how is he supposed to know what the rules are on this, you know, the situation here, okay? But he is supposed to know something, okay? But this tells you, this gives you some understanding of what his relationship was like with the Lord, okay? Because you know as well as I do, when you seek God and you know God and you spend time with God, and all of a sudden now you got a prophet who has done miracles and stuff like that and says do X, Y, and Z, you're going to follow that to the letter. Because these guys, you know, it's like when Samuel came into a city or into a town, people were afraid of him because none of his words dropped to the ground. And so you would think that this guy would have followed through and shot all the arrows, but he didn't do it. So as a result, because he didn't shoot all the arrows in there, he did not seize the full measure of God's victory or God's blessing because he didn't shoot all those arrows. He had a lack of zeal or of faith, which limited the outcome. And by this whole thing, we can see here, also, I want to point this out, that we can see that great events depend on little matters of faith and obedience. And so, and the reason why I'm pointing this out is I want you to hear this again. He did not seize the full measure of God's victory and blessing. He got something, but he didn't get all of it. Because he didn't hear and he didn't obey what Elisha was saying. Because when you read that, you know, take the arrows. He said, take the arrows. He didn't say take three. He said, take the arrows. So he was clearly communicating. I mean, he didn't like lay out, say, now if you use all these arrows, you're going to completely defeat them. Why? Because he was being tested. And the reason why I'm saying this to you is that there are tests that you and I go under. And the advantage that you have is you know more about the reality and the understanding of the reality that Christ is in you. That he's inside of you. But a lot of people don't know all the provisions that God gives us because we're born again. Most people are unaware of the talent there. A lot of people are like a lot of these athletes I've had over there. They come in as freshmen, and I look at them and I said, they have no idea how talented they are at all. They're clueless of how good they are. They have no idea. Because I love to take people who nobody knew, there was not even any good at all, and turn them into a world-class athletes. I'd love to do that. But I love the process of looking at this individual and knowing what I can do to help them, but looking at them and saying, man, they have no idea how good they are. Well, the Holy Spirit looks at you and me like that. We have sometimes no idea of the power of God that is within us. What it could do, what it can do for other people. The power of your prayers. You underestimate prayer and things, but you are powerful. You can imagine how the enemy wants to completely cloud our minds or cloud us from ever understanding the mystery of God, which is what? Christ in us. Because see, these guys in the Old Testament, they weren't born again. The Holy Spirit had to come upon them. But what did Jesus say? From the beginning of time, nobody was greater than what? John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater. And that's why. His lack of zeal, faith, limited the outcome. You know what I hear in that? We're not thinking big enough. And that's the God we serve. That's why it says that it's impossible to please him without faith. But Jesus, to the centurion, who understood what goes on in the spirit realm and is not even a Jew, he said, marvelous, I have never seen such great faith in all of Israel. That's God in the flesh talking to that guy. And so we need to understand that we need to start to think bigger. So whatever it is that you feel that God is telling you to do in the earth, just up at about 10, maybe even up and further than that. Or whatever it is that you're involved in. I mean, the blessings of God, sometimes I think that we just settle. Well, I'm okay, I'm content, I really don't need anything, I'm fine, or whatever it might be. But when the hand of God, did he not bless Job like twice as much? I mean, you look at Abraham and a lot of these guys, I think that calculated, Job had over $200 million. I don't know what it was. It's some huge amount. I calculated it out. When you look at the modern day with the sheep and all that stuff and what they were worth, and I just deep dive study, and I think I was over in South Africa, so it was like a billion rand or whatever like that. Some guy, but it really brought into perspective, this guy was very wealthy. Why did God bless him so much? Because of obedience, because of faith. And so I'm not trying to preach some prosperity gospel up here to you. I'm not trying to ram that down your throat. I believe that God's going to prosper me for sure. And God wants to bless us. And we want the full blessing, whatever it might be. But I'm not going to sit there and focus in on prosperity when I know that God has already promised that. But I do want the full measure of whatever the blessing is. Because we don't think we deserve it. But I want to tell you do deserve it because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the sacrifice. Most certainly we deserve it. We need to totally receive what the Lord has for us, the full thing. And the other thing is we can see that great events depend on little matters of faith and obedience. Look at Abraham with Isaac, the fact that he would sacrifice his son. And he did that, and God said to him, and now I know you will not withhold any good thing from me. And because of his obedience, we are blessed to this day. That's why the blessings of Abraham come upon us, because of one simple, minute act of faith, little matters of faith, cause great events. So just don't underestimate yourself. You may obey God in a little thing. It's important. It is important. So what became of Joash? this story does not end. So he started out really good. He repaired the temple. He removed the idols. And he reformed Judah. So he did do some good things. But after his uncle died, he began to listen to corrupt princes, and he turned into idolatry, and he ended up killing the prophet Zechariah, who was the son of his uncle who raised him. You just can't make this stuff up. These guys were messed up. So, you know, the significance in life in terms of just the way we walk things out with God, it's always gonna come down to faith and obedience. And I really do believe that we are in a season of really experiencing some awesome faith and awesome opportunity to obey Him in so many areas. And I really see there's a zeal of God out. I mean, can you imagine being so motivated just to obey God? I mean, I can tell you it's because I was in the athletic arena and I saw how that worked. I saw how an athlete coming in that had the zeal to obey the coach or to learn or and to walk out what they're taught, how they got blessed. It's the same thing in walking with the Lord. We have to let that zeal come within us. And that's really answering the call that is on your life and having a motivation where you're walking out your day so motivated just to obey Him and having the opportunity to be able to serve the Holy Spirit and realize that every day counts, every moment counts, every word that comes out of my mouth counts, and it's building something up into eternity that will stay with you forever and ever and ever. And there are rewards that are behind it. Believe that God is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And I want to tell you, is there any kind of reward here that can really compare to eternity? I mean, there's no amount of money, you will find out as you serve the Holy Spirit that you will find out that this world becomes less real, that the spirit world is more real than this one, because this one's fading away. And you get to a place where you realize that there's nothing here really that you're looking for. And they weren't either. Noah and Abraham and all those men of faith, they were looking for a city that was built by God, and they never received it while they were here, but yet they were motivated to behave and to obey God in a way that where they're here because they knew that there was something beyond this life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Oh, so good. Amen. 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 Aren't you much better now? Amen. That was so good. There's that good-looking guy in the back there. Yeah, you. You're looking. Now, there's nobody behind you, by the way. Okay. And don't take that the wrong way. Okay. I'm just trying to be nice here. Okay. I don't really know if you're good-looking. I'm just saying because I'm a guy, but you look like you are, I guess, somebody. But I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Some people have no direction, and there's other people that have strong direction. And you've got strong direction, and you've got vision, and you've had that going on in your life for a while. But there's clarity that's coming into your life this year, and clarity, it gives you the steps. You know, it's like you have something. I'm gonna go out and achieve this, or I'm gonna go do this, or I'm gonna become this. And it's out there. But then there's the steps in between. And those steps in between are revelation that can come from the throne room of God, which can make your journey speed up and become quick. I mean, it's the kind of thing that I really see in your life where God is going to open a door to you, but you need to have some steps to get there. And I really think that He's going to be giving you those steps this year, okay? I see people around you. I don't know if you're coached or not, but I see people, I see counsel around you that God is going to use to bring you into excellence. You're not somebody that does things halfway, and you've learned that early in life. And we've got, somebody gives you a job to do, and if you are motivated, because that comes and goes, obviously, but if someone does give you a job to do or an assignment to do and you're motivated, you will go a little bit beyond just the average. And what you don't realize is that the Holy Spirit has been teaching you principles through this thing that you do to develop you. With me, what He did when I was coaching, He taught me how to move prophetically because I spoke into the potential of people's lives. And what I didn't understand is that the Holy Spirit started to move, and I started to know things that only God knew about that individual and so forth. And so that's happening to you. So just understand that this thing is a vehicle for you to be developed in the Lord. And your relationship with the Lord is going to increase this year because of the amount of dreams that you're going to be getting. And these dreams, you know, are information, okay? And they need to be decoded. No one needs to be able to give you maybe the interpretation, but you're going to get it yourself, all right? You'll be able to get it yourself. So I just want to encourage you. This is a very pivotal year for you, and I almost want to say you're going to graduate. That's the word I see. I just see graduation. And you're going to graduate. And it's going to move you into your next phase of your life. So just be encouraged. And I just see really your steps are sure. You're not flaky. You know, there's a real steadiness about you. And people are going to be attracted to you as a result of that. And so I see your nature is probably to be quiet initially. It's not that you don't talk. It's just that you think a little bit before you speak, which is actually a good quality. I would keep that. So that's got wisdom beyond your years. But just be encouraged. I really see that you're the steadiness and this rock that you are is going to really help a lot of people through some difficult problems. You're going to have I see an individual, I don't know if this is going on right now or it's happened or it's something in the future. That's always easy to prophesy like that because it can happen, not happen. You're safe, right? But I see people that you're going to have a real ministry to that have come through divorces. You know, people have been children of divorced people. And you're going to really study them. You're going to really give them comfort. And it's not going to just be one. It's going to be quite a few. And it won't be revealed at first, but it's like you have a friendship or whatever, and you meet somebody, and all of a sudden you find out, hey, my parents went through a divorce or whatever, and then that light's going to go on and go, oh, that's what that guy said. Oh, okay. And then you're going to be serving the Holy Spirit because something will come up. And, you know, that's what we're talking about, little steps of faith. A kind word to somebody or an encouragement is ministry. It's just as powerful as laying hands on the sick. And God's going to give you words of encouragement. Your life will be marked as a person that has encouragement coming out of them. You will build people up and you will not tear them down. I would almost even say you will become a coach one day. So I would really encourage you in that ministry in Jesus' name. What's your name?
Thomas.
Well, don't doubt. It's going to happen. Amen. Amen. Jesus. I was serving the Holy Spirit. He gave me that joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Amen. That was so good. Thank you. Father, I just thank you for this gathering tonight. You have a sister. Do you have a sister?
She died.
Okay.
2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Oh, I'm the only survivor.
Okay. Okay.
Witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see what you're talking about, and in the spirit, but you're so fortified. You know, you really are. You really are fortified, and you've been able to weather the storm because you're in the fort and you're in the secret place, and that's, you know where to go. But I really do believe that God's going to give you, this is going to be a breakout year for you. You know, where you actually break out, and you really need to hear that the Lord is establishing, he's building something within you. It's like a, you know, when God erects something inside of us, he lays it with rock, one after another after another after another. And so the words that are coming to you are building something inside you. First of all, he's letting you first of all know he loves you, he cares about you, and he's in it. He is totally in it, okay? So I don't know you. I've never met you, okay? And so he's delivering healing to you tonight, okay? All right? And so you seem to understand that, you know, when he heals, he does a thorough job. So we're not talking about shooting three arrows at this thing. We're shooting the whole basket.
Do it.
Okay? Shooting the whole basket. Okay?
Do it.
All right? Thank you, Jesus. Everybody just point your hand at me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hold on. Just hold it back away. Just, back up just a second. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit just minister on right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Take his family burden from me. I couldn't save him. Shavo has been my best friend.
Thank you, Jesus. That was so good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Here it is.
My
peace, Jesus. That was so good. Thank you, Jesus. So in your secret place and in the times when you begin to intercede and pray and get close to your God, you're going to begin to experience that there is a place where there is no pain, there is no tears, there is no sorrow. There's none of these things. And Holy Spirit's going to whisk you away and take you there to that place to heal you and restore you. But he's going to strengthen you. And just as Elijah, when he carried out this awesome task, and he did this all this stuff, and he became so tired, it got to the point he was being pursued, and all this stuff, Jezebel was after him, and all that stuff. But these ravens came. They came to him and brought him a meal. And he ate that meal, and it strengthened him. And the Holy Spirit's prepared a meal for you tonight to strengthen you, to let you know that he knows everything that's going on. He's got it all in his hands, and he's going to restore you, and he's going to heal you, okay? And he's going to comfort you, okay? Because eternity is real, heaven is real, okay? And your loved ones, you're going to see them again, and you know this, okay? You know this, okay? It's not the end, okay? We miss them. We miss them. We don't grieve as the world grieves, but we do grieve. And we miss them because we love them. And when you have that love or that concern for people that have gone before us, and that love is still alive, it's still real, it's evidence that they're there. They're still going on. So just be encouraged tonight, okay? You came here for a specific reason, okay? The Holy Spirit heard you.
Yes.
And he answered you.
Thank you, Lord.
Just bless him tonight. You have a God that loves you.
My only one.
He's going to restore you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father. So
good. My only one, thank you. All my loved ones are with you.
Thank you, Jesus. That was so good. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. So good. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So I just want to encourage everybody to just continue to walk the way you're walking. Really think about what I said about serving the Holy Spirit tonight. And just look forward to this year. It's going to be a good year. A lot of building is going to go on. A lot of building. God's going to build up a lot of stuff. Be encouraged. There's a real wind of the Spirit. God is all about refining his church. He is all about creating a church that is just powerful. And you're all a part of it. So just be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. Lord God, I ask you just to bless those that have come tonight, Lord God, and those that couldn't make it tonight. Lord, we lift up Doug Jolly, Lord, and Chip Brooks, Lord, who's in the hospital right now. We thank you, Lord, that you used Doug to minister there, Lord God, but also, Lord, that you would restore Chuck through your miracle hand right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we just give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord God, for what you're doing in our midst and in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Yes, I talked with Matt yesterday, and I'm going to have him come, and he's done real well. He's ahead of schedule with his stuff, and they're getting results. So he seemed to be. I called my contact, and they were actually coming back.
Did you know who's coming home? So you're just over, huh? Yeah.
Good.